Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to a brand new episode here at Gamertag Radio. This is your host, Danny Pena. And on this episode, a couple days ago, I got invited to go to the Meta offices. And shout out to the team at ILM. They gave me an opportunity to try out their new game, Star Wars Beyond Victory. This is an exclusive game for Meta Quest 3 and also 3S. I sat down with the team, with the senior producer, and also the design lead of the game, and we talked everything about the game, the story, when this story takes place, all that, and talk about a little bit about the racing and any games that inspire them to come up with this idea and all that. So we had a great, great conversation. So I'm going to play here in a few minutes. Also, I'm bringing back GTR Retro. It's coming back this Thursday. So I know a lot of people have been asking me, hey, Danny, when you guys are going to bring back GTR Retro? We're going to bring it back. So from now to December, I'm going to see what I'm going to do for 2026. But I'm going to try my best to release 3 episodes every week. So it'll be a roundtable discussion, regular episode that we record on Sundays. Also, later that week, it could be a hands-on or preview or overview of a game or interview, and also GTR Retro. So make sure to check it out. Let me know what you guys think. If there's any requests of any old games that we probably might cover, that we probably covered back in the days, let me know. I will also try my best to add it here on the show. So enjoy the short interview with the team at ILM about Star Wars Beyond Victory. Enjoy.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Harvey Whitney, I'm a senior producer at ILM and working on Beyond Victory.
All right. And I'm David Palumbo. I'm a senior experience designer at ILM, and I'm the lead designer for Beyond Victory.
All right. Yeah, so Beyond Victory, I like the name. Why Beyond Victory? Star Wars Beyond Victory.
Well, so it's about a sort of competitive pod racer who wants to keep winning. And so there's this whole story around how they are trying to win at all costs and what that's going to end up costing them. Mm-hmm. So what they learn beyond the victory of the races is also a big part of the story. And on top of that, we have multiple different game modes. So it's not just about this one story, but there's all kinds of things beyond that that you can do as a player.
And what you could tell us a little bit about the story and timeline, when this takes place too, in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah. So this takes place in the Reign of the Empire, which is, you'll see stormtroopers that you've seen in the original trilogy. You'll see Sebulba, who is from the Phantom Menace, but seeing what's happened to him a few years after the fact and this new story. And this is about Volo Bolas, who is a pod racer and a mechanic who runs, works in a sort of surrogate mother's garage, their surrogate mother's garage. Mm-hmm. And the garage is struggling, and they're trying to find the best way to keep it afloat using their racing skills. And they get approached by Sebulba to they're offered the opportunity of a lifetime. And so you'll see that that doesn't quite go as planned, but over the course of the sort of 2-hour-ish story, players all get to see what types of choices Volo ends up making.
Was there any games or movies? Because I know in the past there's been, you know, stuff that like movies and also games that related to pod racing. Was there anything that you guys went back like, hey, let's check it out to see if it helped you guys to get inspired more for this project to work on? Or
yeah, of course. I mean, of course, we were looking at the old N64 pod racer game that people
that's
have
a classic,
you
yeah.
know, deep in their brains. But you know, the mixed reality design of this project really led us to look at top-down racers, because that ended up being sort of what was the most analogous to the style of racing that you end up being able to play here. And so we were really going all the way back. Our director, Jose Perez, is a huge arcade fan. And so we were looking at arcade racers as a real point of comparison. Spy Hunter was something that always came up.
Another classic.
An absolute classic, yeah. Mm-hmm. We try to make it, you know, a little less quarter eatery, less tough as nails. But Black Emperor is another sort of newer arcade game that we were looking at a lot, which is a motorcycle game just about trying to stay on the track. One of our main pillars was perilous pod racing. We wanted it to feel fast and fun, and balancing that level of challenge with something that's also accessible is, you know, there's always that back and forth. So I think we'll find that players are, you know, it takes a second to sort of get your wheels under you. And then once you've got it can really, you can have fun with it.
And question for both, why mixed reality? Why you guys wanted to focus on have this game playable like that instead of the usual, you know, VR games?
Kind of just jumping into that, like, you know, at ILM, We're storytellers, right? We love telling stories, and we're also very innovative. And so we like to figure out new and exciting ways to tell these stories. And so, you know, this was a great opportunity to play around with both of those things, as well as, you know, we have our playset mode, which is that sandbox and playing around with toys and doing all that. And, you know, we're big fans of, like, you know, the toys and being able to put them in your living space, right? And, you know, Dave mentioned our director, Jose Perez, and, you know, he's a big collectible guy, right? And so he's got toys everywhere. And, you know, being able to mix the digital and the real is really a cool setup. And, you know, we went through a lot of just iterations, and we'd be doing reviews, and we'd be like, wait, is that a real toy or is that a digital toy? And it was really cool to see how they would interact in your actual environment and how you could play around with creating different scenes in your living space. And so that was so much fun to be able to do that. And we just wanted to share that with everybody.
Yeah, can you tell us, for those that don't know, this is a pretty cool poster of the game. Can you describe about the characters here that's on the poster, if you can?
Go ahead.
So, I mean, at the center is Volo Bolis. They're the star of the show, our intrepid pod racer. They're surrounded by some different characters, some new. We've got in a helmet, it's a character named Luda, the Twi'lek, which is the one with the long head. Tentacles. <I'm not sure. laughs> The franchise approved term for those is Leku is the name. That's the sort of surrogate mother and runner of the garage. But of course, the big imposing figures on the poster are Sebulba making his big return after so many years. And Gracchus the Hutt is making his sort of action animated debut. We've seen him in the comic books, but this is the first time you'll be able to see him at true scale, which will be really fun.
And how about it working with Lucas, Lucasfilm on this?
Well, we're pretty directly tied into Lucasfilm. I mean, we're ILM is, you know, a part of the company.
Oh,
so,
part of the company. Okay.
Yeah. So we work really closely with them in all ways. Skywalker Sound is our sound partner. They do an amazing job recreating those iconic movie sounds. I think, getting the sound of pod racers right is something that is a real part of the experience, and getting to work with the folks at Skywalkers.
And how difficult was it to get like adding new characters into the Star Wars universe into this game? Was it something where you guys had this idea for a while while working on this project?
Like Dave said, we're all, you know, one organization, and
sure.
We work very closely with those folks, and, you know, we've worked with them in the past on past projects and things like that. So it's very much a collaboration, and they're very much part of this, where we start coming up with the idea and we start looking at what we're trying to do and the story that we're trying to tell and the characters. And, you know, we chat with them, and they were very excited. They're like, yeah, Sebulba, that's great. You can totally bring Sebulba in. And, you know, there's some new characters, and we go back and forth with them. And, you know, on the far right, Dave didn't really touch on it too much, but there's a little cute character there named Dieland. And without giving around too much details, but there's a throwback there, and it harkens back to episode one. That's as much as I'll go there.
Okay. All right.
They love that callback as well. And so it's been such a great collaboration working with them on this project. And, you know, they're full of great ideas when we go in and try to tell them the story we're trying to put together. And they'll be like, that's really good. And there's also this you can do. And, you know, it kind of just builds on that. So it's been a fun collaboration working with them.
Any advice for those that, you know, going to start racing and they have to select a pod, like, which one is like the ones that you recommend? Which one's your favorite so far for you?
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, like, early on during the development. Well, I guess throughout the whole development, we would do, like, internal competitions. And it was always, like, who's going to be on the leaderboard? Who's got the best score? And, you know, there was so much conversation back and forth. People late at night were like, I'm trying to get the highest score. And everybody just had a different way of doing it, which was really exciting to see that there was no, like, clear, this is the best pod and this is what you should be doing. Because the scores were all so competitive and very close. So it's kind of just your personal style and what you enjoy doing. And, you know, everybody's going to discover that path or that challenge that they want to do. And I think it's going to be pretty evenly balanced. So then it comes down to just refining your skills and finding that best path to get the high score and be at the top of the leaderboard.
All right. This is a question for you too. So playset. I know you guys could create your own playset area, right? What is it you like to? The first thing you like to do while trying it out for playset for you guys, individually?
For me personally, when we first started making this, I was just like in my house, and I was like just taking the characters and scaling them up 1-to-1. So they're in my living room, right? And I've got like a stormtrooper, I've got R2-D2, and you know, my dog is sitting there looking at me like wondering what I'm doing and has no idea that you know there's a stormtrooper petting her head, and it was just cool being in that space and. In with Star Wars characters, right? Like they're in my living room. I get to hang out with them. And then, you know, it's always something amazing where you take that lightsaber and turn it on and hear that iconic noise and see that show up. And, you know, to Dave's point earlier where, you know, we work very closely with Skywalker Sound and they're so great at making sure that it's what it's supposed to sound like and what it feels like. And so I'm in my living room with a lightsaber. I'll just turn it on and off because it's just like, and it's so much fun to do things like that.
Yeah. And for me, I mean, definitely, I think, like a lot of game designers, I'm a failed 3D artist, you know, and so looking at the art that our team was able to create really at true scale, I think something that you realize when you work at Lucasfilm is how much of Star Wars is all in the details. And so being able to see the details on every model and really get up close, that's one of my favorite things. But I'll also say I love setting up kind of obstacle courses to take the racers through. You can place big buildings or, you know, even giant porgs or whatever and start to shrink down your racer to take them through an obstacle course and just sort of challenge yourself. I'll take the cushions off my couch and set up little ramps to go along with it. And it's just a lot of fun. It really reminds me of playing with Hot Wheels when I was a kid, which, yeah.
Awesome. My last question, what was it like your favorite part about working on this project?
Wow, there's so much.
I know.
you know, I think for me, I always get a lot out of playtesting, watching people connect with it. That's one of the pleasures of being a game designer is when you make these things and you watch people react and you get to react to that too. So we had a back and forth with our testers and things, but I always love seeing how the iterations sort of come together throughout the course of development. And, you know, we just had a day really recently where people were playing playset and were watching how they kind of use their own creativity. And it's so gratifying when you build all those features into the thing and you just hope that someone finds them, and watching how they gravitate toward it is really gratifying.
Yeah, I would say for me, like, we do have the three distinct modes in this title, and it's nice knowing that there's going to be something for everyone, right? Like if I'm a very story person and I just want to go live a Star Wars story, I can go through adventure mode and play that. But then that also unlocks these other things I can do. And then, you know, I can try out arcade mode and then I can go and do playset. So I'm really excited that we have something for everybody to try. And I think people that may only want to do one mode or two mode, I think they'll get in there and they'll realize, hey, this is really cool too. So I think it brings a lot of just different types of playing with a VR MR experience, and they'll have something to do and they're really going to enjoy it. And it's cool to see that all come together in one thing.
Awesome. Well, thanks for the interview.
Yeah, thank you. So much.
Awesome.
All right.
Cool. Perfect.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.